welcome to Nightlight. Step away from the mainstream and gather around as we help enlighten the world around us and travel this cosmic journey we call life. Join us as we share with you and provide that beacon that can guide us all to a better way. Nightlight, a reminder that you are never alone. And now your host, internationally renowned spiritual intuit, medium, channel, author, artist, lecturer, and ordained minister, Ms. Barbara DeLong.
Please, please, everyone, hold your applause. Tonight, Barbara's roles will be played by Miss Anne Rose, Lumination. The lovely Barbara is not feeling well, and so she will not be making the show. So I have stepped in for her, and I hope to do her justice. Today, we have a wonderful woman who is an animal communicator, and she is from Raven's Whisper. That's the name of her website. And hopefully she's in the chat and can put it into the chat room. For those of you who want to know a little bit more about her, I think she's, I don't know if she's in there, but there's her website. I will put it in there as well. I'm going to find out a little bit more about her and about how she does this. For those of you who'd like to maybe do it for yourself or like to get a reading with her, our phone lines are filled. So we're going to jump right in to business. Ms. Rachel, are you with us?
Yes, hi, Anne.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Very good, very good. How are you this fine day?
It's been a wonderful day. I've been out raking leaves and preparing with my animals for the winter months.
So what do you do when you prepare?
Really just, you know, I do a lot of grooming. With my animals, I take, we prepare seasonally for whatever's coming up. So, you know, this time of year, it's still really, you know, relatively mild out. So we'll do hikes. I'll do hikes with the dogs. You know, sitting outside with the cats, you know, that type of thing, just kind of enjoying the weather. You know, and then, of course, the typical grooming and you know, baths and all of that business, maybe a last-minute swim, last-season swim if it's still, you know, depending on the day, you know, for my lab. And, you know, it just sort of depends, you know, what they're in the mood for, what I have time for, you know. My animals definitely remind me to make the most of the season.
Well, I guess we should tell people from what part of the states you are from.
Oh, I'm on the East Coast.
They would know what season you're in because everybody's like,
Right. I'm in Connecticut, so I'm on the East Coast, and it's, you know, we're in the fall months, you know, preparing for one of my cats has just shown up, preparing for winter. You know, we're spending as much time outdoors as we can until we have to be secluded indoors or sequestered indoors.
Now, how did you get into this line of work?
Ah, that is a really long but, you know, maybe somewhat interesting. Someone might find an interesting story. It's certainly not something that, you know, if you had asked me when I was 10 or even 20, you know, what I wanted to be, it's certainly not what I thought I would have ended up in. But then again, I didn't know necessarily where my gifts were or where they would develop or what I would enjoy doing so much. So my journey began, I used to travel a lot, and I spent some time working with the dolphins down in the Florida Keys. And one of the kind of the more famous stories about myself that I have publicized on my website and my brochures and whatnot is that I spent, working with the dolphins. I was swimming with the dolphins one day and got myself into a patch of fire coral. And kind of didn't know how to get myself out of it. And these three dolphins that I was kind of playing with in the water came swooshing up underneath me and in their wake pulled me out. And I heard clear as day in my head, don't touch or you'll get hurt. And, it's one of those things that I went, well, that's kind of interesting. But I didn't think too much of it at the time. I figured, well, I imagined it or something like that. I didn't even know what fire coral was at the moment, at the time. Somebody had to explain it to me later, what it was and that it burned. And I went back, and I was with a group of people who were traveling, and I met a woman in my group that was reading tarot cards. And she was doing cards for everybody. And I thought, well, that's interesting. And I had a deck myself because I had wanted to learn to read for myself. But, never really, it didn't really fit. I didn't know how to read them. Nobody had ever taught me, I had some things that came true, but I wasn't really clued into it. And then I'd gone to bed later on that night and had these vivid, vivid dreams of spontaneous recall, if you will, of all these times in my life when I had experiences with animals where I heard them. And then I guess I had just blocked it out or not thought it was anything strange and realized, wow, I'd been doing this for a really long time, and there's a reason why animals would just take to me. And then once I started developing my gifts and I started taking classes, I did end up taking a tarot class, and it just, I just got good at it really, really fast, really quickly, and found out that, I kind of had already thought that everybody had done this because I kind of already knew stuff about people without without knowing, really getting to know them, I could tell them things about their lives. And when I got older, I realized I really like to help people and that this is a way that I could really help people and animals. And in my studies and my classes that I took, it just got stronger and stronger, and I found out they enjoyed working with people and animals much more. And that's kind of how it happened.
Very cool, very cool. Now, how does one communicate with animals?
Good question, Ann. I quiet myself. I do kind of like a mini meditation, and I just tune into their energy. And I'm looking for, kind of a voice, if you will. And it feels very light at first, kind of like somebody walks in the room with you, and it's very, very light. And I believe, people do it all the time, people, especially animal people, people that have animals and love their animals. I believe you're kind of already doing it. I mean, I don't know, Anne, if you've ever had an experience where you've gone to bed at night, come in maybe late at night and rush to bed and rush through your evening routine and then gone off to bed and woken up kind of with a start and gone, did I even give the dog or cat water? And then you get up and there's nothing in the dish. And, I think we do that. I think they let us know, or I know maybe some of the listeners out there have had experiences where they've gone off to work and not, just not felt right. They felt they had an anxiousness in the pit of their stomach, not knowing that, feeling like something's wrong at home. And they've gotten home and there's been something wrong with the house or something wrong with one of the animals, So I think we kind of are kind of always tuned in, especially with those we care about. So kind of, I don't know if I answered your question. I kind of just kind of tune in. And then through time, I've gotten really good at listening to the subtle kind of messages that they send, in a word.
No, you know, I mean, this is kind of funny, and I've always thought of this, you know, if you've, I mean, you're familiar with it, but for those people out there who don't have animals but have friends who have animals and have watched their friends give their animals personalities and you know, act like they would speak a certain way or act a certain way. Like, you know, I have a chihuahua, and my chihuahua, you know, he doesn't have a Mexican accent. You know, he doesn't, you know.
Right.
You know, it's typical, but he just doesn't have a Mexican accent. You know, he has like this cat personality. And I think it's really fun because whenever I hear him speak, I hear him speak like a cat, you know, like a very smooth and sly, like a cat would speak, not like very gruff, like a dog would speak.
Right.
You know, so I definitely can relate to that. So when you see people acting out with their animals, they really are doing it so that they are, you know, giving their, because that's what they hear.
Right.
So I definitely can relate to that.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was my next question. You know, when I asked you, how does one communicate with the animals? Now, my other question was, how does animal communication work, you know, with the animal communicating back to you?
Meaning, let me clarify about what you mean. Do you mean, like, how they speak to me? Or what kind of messages I get, or
either or.
Okay. Oftentimes I hear them. They communicate in three different ways: through words, pictures, or feelings. Okay. Oftentimes domestic animals will come to me through sentences, words, and sentences, just like you or I are speaking. They've been around certain things. It's funny. Domestic animals will oftentimes pick up funny little anecdotes about TV and whatnot, just through either hearing their people speak of them or kind of picking them up on the radio or TV that they're around. For instance, I think I've told a story before. I have a horse that I worked with for a long time, and he, I don't know where he got the name, but apparently he had been around someone who watched The Lone Ranger. And so his favorite character was Hi-Ho Silver. And I thought that was funny because he couldn't clarify between the name of the horse, which was Silver, and Hi-Ho Silver away. But he would tell me that was his nickname. That was who he emulated or whatnot. So certain, you know, kind of domestic animals, or like in the case of horses, animals who are kind of more around people will have seem to speak more in words. Non-domesticated animals will come through either with pictures showing me things that have happened, you know, very much like clairvoyant visions, or feelings about something. Animals oftentimes in trauma, if they've gone through trauma, I will get the feeling about what happened if they don't know what it was like, if they don't know how to explain what happened. They will show me the feeling of what it feels like.
Very cool, so, very cool.
Yeah.
Now, do you have a favorite animal that you like to communicate with?
I don't know. I have a special affinity for dogs, I think, just because I think I relate to the activeness of them, their activity level and how they hunt and things like that, and their pack nature. I think that happens to be like a kind of an animal totem of mine. But as far as speaking to them, I'm always amazed when I talk to new breeds, kind of what I find out from them. Horses, for one, are particularly intelligent and have a totally different mindset because they're, you know, they're not as active, and they tend to watch more. Birds are another species that I enjoy talking to, simply because of the level of, I don't want to say level of intelligence, but it's a different type of conceptual knowledge that they have. So it's kind of a different layer. You know, it's like the difference between, I don't know, talking to a college professor and, you know, I don't know, an
surfer.
Average person off the street. Yeah, so yeah, exactly, a surfer. Yeah, it's a kind of a different mentality and a different kind of things that they talk about or things that they find important. You know, that type of thing. So, you know, and for instance, like, you know, just who they are as a breed will, or a species will kind of dictate a lot about what they talk about. Dogs, for instance, will talk a lot about their family, their pack. You know, cats, not so much, you know. Cats will talk about their person, you know, because they're usually focused on one person.
Now, what is your funniest experience with communicating with an animal?
Oh. Let me think. There's so many. I had a golden retriever tell me once about Thanksgiving, and that, you know, apparently the family was preparing a turkey, and I don't know whether it was their first Thanksgiving to do as a family or not, because, you know, I never got that side of the story, but the dog told me about how there was arguments and people were throwing things, and then there was this incident with the turkey where they were washing the turkey and it got out of their hands and slid underneath the, across the floor, flew up in the air, slid across the floor and underneath the table, and then everyone was after this turkey. And to get it quick before the dog got it. So I thought,
well,
that was...
Would you want to eat it after it's rolled all around? You'd want
right.
to give it to the dog after that, you know?
Right. But that was one of those stories where the dog kind of outed the family. I had an iguana that used to like to sit on the sofa at night also, and he would hide... I guess there was an Afghan on the back of the sofa, and he would... he would sit there and try to, you know, change his colors and sit as still as he could so that he'd fade into everything. And then he liked to bite the cat when the cat wasn't looking. And he thought that was great. He thought that was great fun, you know. So, yes, yeah, so it's interesting, the little kind of nuances that I'll pick up from, you know, kind of like what they enjoy or what they don't enjoy. Doing.
Now, this is an interesting question. Is there a difference between communicating with a deceased pet and an alive one in terms of difficulty or likelihood of communication?
I'm sorry, difficulty of what?
Of likelihood of communication, like... Does the vibration change? The language change? Does anything change? Because, you know, when people cross over, sometimes how they are is not how they are on the other side. They tend to drop. Mm-hmm. If they were nasty on this side, they tend to have dropped that because they've moved on the other side.
Yeah.
And, you know, animals don't have all that baggage. You know, the baggage
right.
that they usually acquire is usually from the owner.
Yeah, there is a difference. Usually I feel their energy as different. It feels very, I want to explain it as silvery.
Okay.
It feels kind of cooler and more of a fast vibration. So if I see them in my mind, I will see them as a slightly different color as well. They'll look kind of sparkly and like a silver color.
Mm-hmm.
If they, you know, for instance, in a case where I'm looking for an animal, like a lost pet, and I'm not sure, and the owner's not sure if the animal is still alive or not, you know, so I don't have that information before doing the session, I will wait to see what the feel is of the animal when they come to me. They will talk slightly different as well, or talk about different things. after they've passed. They'll talk kind of, you know, like you were stating, like with people, they'll talk more about the bigger picture of things because they can see now from a much more expansive view of the world and what's really important, as opposed to, you know, kind of a very smaller view that we have when we're very focused on our own lives.
That makes a lot of sense. Do you have animals understand everything that we say, or do you find that to be true?
Yes, I think they understand a lot of what we say, simply because when we talk in pictures. You know, if try describing something to one of your friends, and you're picturing it in your head. So animals, because they're telepathic, will pick up a lot of what we're saying. You know, if they don't understand the actual words, then they will pick up kind of what we're saying, you know, what we're feeling, things like that. Because they can just, they're just good at that. They do that naturally.
So do you think that, and I know this is probably projecting a lot, but I know that animals can pick up a lot of things from their owners. They take on a lot of the stuff that, because you put a lot on our animals, let's face it.
Right.
We put a lot of distresses and stuff on them. So do you think that an animal can pick up or take on self-esteem issues, depression, almost human characteristics of the owner?
Absolutely. I think naturally they don't. You know, in the wild, they don't.
Right.
I have started to notice that, you know, animals are becoming so domesticated with us that they're picking up more of our little defects, if you will. Dogs, for instance, will certainly channel the energy through their people, you know. Cats as well, too. So I do think it's a possibility. And even in cases of illness can be transferred between animal and pet. And do frequently. So it's an interesting thing when we share such a close, intimate space or vibration with our animals. And also their job, one of their main jobs with us is to kind of neutralize the energy in the house. So, you know, they will take on that extra areas of stress or anxiety, things like that.
Well, they say that, you know, I know from doing animal Reiki and stuff that, you know, households that have animals in them have people who are less likely to be sick versus households who don't have animals in them.
Yes. Yeah, I find that to be true as well.
Their illnesses are a lot higher, or the percentages of illnesses are a lot higher, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, another thing, Anne, I don't know if you've heard about this either, but I've done some work with the police and with police dogs, and there tend to be, you know, some of the stress disorders that some of the policemen get from their job being so intense seem to be less in the ones that have dogs or work with dogs. They have less of post-traumatic stress, less alcoholism, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
That seem to affect them, yeah.
Well, I always found too, you know, I love the ASPCA. I think the people who work in the animal shelters are amazing. I you know, donate to many shelters. I try to do as much for them, the animals, as possible. But
right.
I find that the people that work in those shelters are in need of some socialization.
Okay.
And I don't know how to put it without making them sound bad. But I've just coming across them, they're just, you know, bringing people in to go get animals, to adopt animals. I find them to be very rude, and I think it's just because of the fear that they have for the animals.
Yeah.
That they're so afraid that somebody's going to come in and take an animal that they really shouldn't, they have no business taking.
Right.
And they've seen it so many times, and I think that has kind of hardened them towards humanity.
Yeah.
Instead of, you know, it's just like this vicious cycle, and it's, mm-hmm. I don't know how to explain it or how to assist those people, but I think mm-hmm. that too affects the animals, you know, and it affects the people who come in to adopt them. And I've heard it time and time again, people who are going in to adopt animals going, geez, that was rough. You know?
Right.
And it had nothing to do with the animals. It was the people that they were dealing with.
Right.
So
yeah,
if you're one
that...
of those people out there, be nice.
Yes. I think it can happen for a couple different reasons, Anne. I think oftentimes there is a certain breed of people that really are better with animals than they are with people. They relate better with animals. And so they won't have such a warm and fuzzy or appearance or be as approachable when a person mm-hmm. comes in. And then, you know, it also is just a tough job. I mean, they have a really mm-hmm. tough job. They're taking animals in that you know, either nobody wants or are violent, hostile, scared. They're mm-hmm. also stuck in the middle of, like, you know, a lot of bureaucracy, you know, a lot of political stuff that happens there that they have, you know, they deal with firsthand. And then, of course, dealing with people. And not everybody, unfortunately, not everybody, you know, adopts for the right reasons, you know, or has the... makes a commitment once they adopt. So
right.
they'll feel it's with some animals it's a revolving door. They go out, they come back. So it really is. It's a tough. It's a good point you bring up, Anne, because I think those people need a lot of love and healing because they just have to deal with
yeah.
a lot of stuff. And then of course they're the ones that are taking care of these animals and oftentimes, you know, have to euthanize and say goodbye.
Right.
You know,
my heart goes out to them, you know, and if you could, like, I had spent time at one of the animal sanctuaries and, you know, they were so excited to have me there and why they wanted me there was they wanted information from the animals and they wanted to know how they felt, you know, what
right.
they had gone through, you know, what were the animals thinking. And they were just so amazed, and they were so thankful that these animals were able to give them insight on how they felt and that they were appreciated.
Right.
And, you know, and closure with some
right.
points. And, you know, even told them a little bit of something about themselves. And I think, you know, a lot of these people that go to work with animals, it's so much easier for them to deal with someone where there isn't that emotional stuff there, that they're just there to just take whatever you have to give. There's no
right.
complaining. They're just, you know, and I think people like yourself and myself, who are, you know, humanitarians and who really love animals, are needed in this type of environment and need mm-hmm. to work with people who actually work with animals to help
right.
them out as well.
Yeah.
Now, my other question for you is, do you think that animals are more intuitive than people?
That's a good question. Answer that. I think they are just naturally more intuitive. I'm trying to think if I have anything more to add to that. I think because they don't lose a lot of their true nature. You know, they don't get involved in, you know, their iPhone and their this and their that and and other different outside things. So they do still pay attention to their own instinct and their own, you know, likes and dislikes, and they listen. You know, they pay attention. So I think they really do follow their own intuition more as a rule than we do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think we're kind of, it's kind of beat out of us at a young age, you know, in some situations not to listen to ourselves or not to only listen to ourselves. And so I think they naturally have that, you know, kind of is second nature for them to kind of stick with their own thoughts, feelings, guidance. Than we do.
My next question for you is, do you think that animals have a special purpose here on Earth?
Mm.
Or is every animal unique in his or her own life purpose?
Good question. I think there's so many answers to that. You can answer that in so many different ways. I think a lot of animals, like for instance, domestic animals are here to be loved and to love. Okay. And I think that's kind of true for most animals. But I do think that there are other animals that have different purposes, just like, you know, just as you and I have different purposes. And I think that really becomes unique to their setting or their situation. I know that, you know, especially, for instance, if we're talking domestic animals, they will tend to kind of mirror and work with their people. So, for instance, someone who may do intense healing work, and they find that their animal does intense healing work as well. I met a woman years ago from California who did toning work, and she would do these amazing kind of vocal patterns with her voice, and she would do this kind of energy over someone to heal them or release blockages. She had a dog who would be in the background howling and yipping right behind her. This dog would add a kind of a special layer. We all have heard of cats who give Reiki. You know, I think that's, you know, specific to them as well. There are other animals who just seem to make much more of an impact on us. For instance, some of the animals that have paired or bonded, some of the unlikely loves that are out there. Like, I don't know if anybody's heard of there's a dog, a dog and an elephant that became best friends. It has made worldwide news. A hippo and I believe a tiger cub. And you know, there's numerous stories of just animals who have come together in certain circumstances and kind of changed people. Just even hearing about them, seeing them, you know. So I think they all have very unique purposes and they kind of have universal purposes, if you will, and then kind of more specific to their people or to the group that they influence the most.
That's so cool. I think there was a dolphin and a, I don't know if it was a dog or a cat that was very close too.
Yeah.
As well. Do you notice any common links or character traits that certain species seem to share? You know, like dogs are known for their loyalty, cats, their independence, horses, you know, for running free, rabbits
right.
for being very fast. And, you know, I'm talking about like on an energy plane type of thing, or even a personality-wise.
Hmm. I'm trying to think if there's anything I can add to that that's a little bit more than just the cliche. You know, mm-hmm. I think animals are known for their cliches, you know, or their traits that do become cliche, like for instance, dogs being loyal, dolphins for being playful. I'm not quite sure how to answer that. I want to say there are. I mean, dolphins tend to be, you know, animals that have, you know, higher knowledge. You know, higher knowledge, playful, more of a fifth dimensional energy to them. Horses are conceptual thinkers. You know, they think in pictures and strategy, you know, more than, you know, point A to point B equals point C, you know. That's a good one, though. it's certainly something, a topic I think we could go into more in detail at a later time. Like I said, I'm not quite sure how to add that won't just seem very cliche to that question.
Well, you know, I mean, I personally noticed that, you know, in communicating with horses, that they're very competitive. You know, I mean, I can equate a lot of horses to a lot of guys I know. It's really funny, but that's how I look at them. But also rabbits are very competitive as well.
Yes.
And so even though they're two totally different species and have really nothing in common other than they're both mammals and have fur, they are very competitive. That's something that they do have in common.
Right.
They run fast. But they're very competitive. So I was just wondering if you had noticed anything on an etogenic level. Just curious.
I think horses also can be very gossipy.
Oh yeah.
as well as guinea pigs too seem to be very gossipy. They seem to kind of know kind of what's going on and who did what to whom and that sort of thing as well.
So funny. I can see it all now. Don't say that I told you, though. what is the most unusual or exotic animal that you have communicated with?
I would have to say a Komodo dragon.
Ooh.
Yeah. It was interesting, very interesting information. They have an interesting way of thinking of things. They can be very slow because they wait. You know, so they come off as kind of very slow, very much like a tree energy, kind of like you just feel like this big thing it's very dense, that doesn't move very fast. And then all of a sudden, when they are after something, they think very quickly and they notice things. They notice things, movement and wind and scent and everything so quickly. They kind of have both energies, you know, which I found very fascinating, because I think you'll agree in your travels, if you've spoken to prey animals
mm-hmm.
in the wild, they have a very quick, you know, like rabbits for instance, will have a very quick fast personality as well as the way they think and the way they take in the world. And so I found it very intriguing that this animal had two different aspects going on.
And it gives the appearance, you know, they're interesting because they give the appearance of just kind of sashaying around. Like they don't really, you know, that I don't care attitude, and they're just kind of moseying along.
Yeah, they do, and yet something that they care about very much, they are very passionate about.
Very interesting. Okay, now, for if people were to have a consultation with you for their animal, how long would that consultation be? Can you give us an idea?
Yeah, usually I usually will recommend an hour, okay? And I do a little bit of work beforehand, which is different than when I do a traditional psychic reading. When I do an animal consult, I will take a little bit of information beforehand, some of their questions, the name, age, and breed of the animal, some of the maybe problems or issues that they're having with the animal as well, and I will go into that beforehand, and then I will have that information ready for when we speak on the phone, when we've actually set up the time for the consult. And then if there's any other questions the person has, then we can go into those at that time too. Okay.
And how many animals can people talk to at one session?
For me, I don't. I know some communicators put a limit on that. I don't. I'll add as many as we can talk to, depending on how many issues there are. So I would say a good number would be maybe 2 to 4. Because in that, especially if you're having a particular issue with one of the animals, like for health or something like that, then, it will give me the time I need to really spend with that one particular animal. And I think the pre-session, when I'm at a fair, I don't do the pre-session. But I like doing that, Anne, in cases of when there's an illness or if the animal's lost or... if they're preparing to leave, if they're preparing for death, then I like getting that extra information and spending time with the spirit of the animal, so I can give the person the most, kind of most detailed information that I would need.
And can they share that session with a friend or a family member?
Oh, meaning having more than one person on the phone?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, I have no problem with that.
Okay.
I often have, we'll often have married couples, be on different extensions so they can participate in the call.
And can they purchase gift certificates because the holidays are coming up and stuff? Is there a spot on your site that they can purchase gift certificates at?
I'm not sure if it's up there yet. I'm kind of reorganizing things, but certainly they can contact me directly.
Okay.
For that, and I offer a special that if they buy a session for someone else, they get a 20-minute free session for themselves.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And does their animal need to be present for you to communicate with them?
No.
Okay.
No, I do most of my work distance, and I find that I like that. While I'm an animal person, I love being around the animal. In some ways, I wish I did it differently because I don't get to meet as many animals as I'd like. But I find for me, I can be clearer when the animal's not present, and I do it from a distance because then I don't make any. I'm not making judgments based on the personality or the breed or, the personality that the person affixes to the animal if they were in person. Yeah.
Now, are there any animals that you can't talk to?
You mean like a species or a breed? Or just, does it ever happen? No, you know, I haven't met a breed or a species that I haven't been able to talk to. In fact, I've even been able to communicate with some insects, though that's a completely different experience. No, there have been occasions where I've had trouble communicating with an animal. And that's for a couple different reasons. Either they just don't want to talk. I've had, there's a horse and also a dog that I had come in contact with years ago that were somewhat violent, and they just wanted to go, and they didn't want to communicate. Some are just a little shyer and will kind of give me a hard time talking to, depending on their personality, which is kind of the case in when I've talked to wolves or wolf hybrids. They kind of give me a little bit of a hard time talking to them, but I can usually get through with that, to them, and they usually will discuss things. Sometimes squirrels can also be a little problematic.
Squirrels,
yeah. Well, I think they have a general disregard for people. You know, not all of them, but some of them. So it really just depends. I haven't, I've never had to turn a client away, for instance, because I was unable to communicate with their animal.
Mm-hmm.
Some
you
of
know,
them
this
I just
is
need
something that. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. Yeah. I was just going to say some of them I just need to kind of contact a couple times to, you know, to really get clear information or get them to trust me enough to talk.
Now, this is something I'm sure that worries many people. You know, it's kind of like bringing your kids somewhere and not really knowing what's going to come out of your kid's mouth. So you're kind of like, so what my kid says in your office will remain in your office. So if my animal tells you all my deepest, darkest secrets, do they stay with you?
Do they stay with me?
Yes.
The secrets? Oh, absolutely. Usually most of my stories that if I'm going to tell, I either ask permission or I change the names to protect the innocent. Yeah, it's another reason why I will always ask permission of the person or the owner before I talk to someone's animal. It's not like I'm going down the street and just talking to random animals to find out what goes on at home, you know.
What happened at your house today?
Right.
Well, I've got a couple of things I'd like to ask you, but we got a question in the chat room, which is interesting because, you know, I'd like to know. Inquiring minds want to know as well.
Okay.
What are swans like?
Swans. They are. That's interesting. That's a great question. They are a lot like they appear. Kind of very quiet and calm. Let's see. I've had very limited contact with them. You know, I haven't done very many sessions with them. I did have a kind of contact with them a couple Christmases ago where I was out early walking my dog. It was very early on Christmas morning. And I was walking along. I live by the water, by the sea. And I was walking along a seawall, and this one lone swan followed me the entire way, probably about 3/4 of a mile. So we kind of shared space for a little bit. And they're very inquisitive. I find them very inquisitive. They seem very polite as well. This is going to sound like a weird connection, but if I had to kind of attach a personality, I would say this one particular swan, and I find that most of them are similar to this. Say a celebrity personality would be like Princess Diana, who's, you know, just when you would appear to look at her, you know. you know, very polite and charming. But you also looked like there was a lot going on beneath the surface. You know, and I find that with swans as well. They're thinking, they're experiencing the world and inquisitive.
Hmm.
You know, and also that kind of warm and nurturing feel too that I find with them.
Very cool, very cool. Now I have a question that for myself personally. I have like this thing with ants. I don't know why, they just will not leave me alone. They won't. I mean, they're everywhere. I've had them with me forever, and I'm like tired of them. If any kind of ant you can think of, that's the kind I have.
Okay.
And I have no idea why.
Okay, is it problematic for you, Anne?
I still like them. I mean, they're just annoying. I mean, right now I have these like little tiny ghost ants, they call them, and
okay.
they're always all around, but they're really tiny, tiny, tiny little ants. But they also, I mean, we have these ones that are like black and red, and I don't care where I go, I always have ants with me. I went to Texas to go visit my girlfriend, Boat Mom, and there were ants there.
Mm.
And she was like, did you bring them with you? But they were different kind of ants. And I was like, I don't know.
Okay.
But no matter where I go, I feel like I'm the ant queen.
Wow. Well, I would say to that, there's a shamanic view that if you have an animal that keeps presenting itself to you like that, whether you love it or hate it, or animal, insect, whatever, that it would mean that you are ready for an initiation of theirs. And if you keep having it, it means you have not completely or successfully gone through that initiation, meaning you haven't taken on the lesson that they've come to teach you. And ants specifically talk a lot about work, and how you feel about what you do for work, and taking kind of those baby steps towards your bigger goals, or consistent baby steps towards your bigger goals.
Hmm. I'll have to look into that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Sure.
Maybe they'll stop attacking me.
Yeah.
Very cool, very cool.
I find them very... very intriguing sometimes. I worked with them for years where I had pictures on my desk of ants because I wanted to kind of help from kind of their medicine, if you will, of what they could teach me about work. And I was working on writing a novel, and I was finding it very painful and hard to kind of really carve out the time to sit down for that. And I would study ants and kind of how they do things and how they have people to delegate to. You know, there's a kind of a very social system that they have where they delegate different roles for different groups, if you will. And, you know, and I found that I was trying to organize things in my life differently when I was working with ants so I could complete this novel on time. And I found them very helpful.
Yeah, when I think of the ants, I always think of compassion, and I think of something that takes on the weight of the world on their shoulders and is able to carry it and move mountains.
Yes. So is anything that you have in your life currently, Anne, that you're working on that is not moving? Or that you've been struggling with for a long time?
Yeah, there's a few things.
Okay.
A few things that, but to pinpoint it, I'll have to think about it.
Okay.
and get back to you.
All right. That might be one of those things that you might have to break down into smaller pieces to digest it. Let's break it into smaller pieces to work on, to break down, to make it more easily maneuverable.
Well, considering their ghost dance, maybe there has to be something spiritual.
Yes, could be.
I have to think about that. I have to think about it. All right, so let me take my first caller, if you're ready for one.
I'm ready.
If you want to, are you in the chat room by any chance?
I'm having trouble with the chat room. I'm having trouble with my computer right now, so I'm working on getting into the chat room, but I'm not there yet.
Okay, I'm going to play a quick song, and then I will get your chat, your link up there in the chat room, and then we'll take our first caller.
Okay.
And for those of you who need the call-in number, the number is 347-857-2139. All righty. We'll be back after 4 minutes and 19 seconds.
That's when I knew that I could finally say,
And we are back. Rachel, you there?
Yes.
Awesome. All right, are you ready for our first caller?
Yes, I am.
Okay. We have Dee Dee from California. Hi, Dee Dee. What can we do for you today?
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I was wondering if you could give me some insight on my Persian cat. He's kind of been giving me a scare lately. Last week he wasn't himself. He kind of bounced back, but he just lately he just seems kind of quirky to me. Like he'll lay down and he'll raise his little paw, and it's just kind of weird. It's like this weird little tick that he's gotten.
Dee Dee, what's your cat's name?
His name is Mr. Whiskers, but we call him Momo for short.
Okay, give me 1 second with that.
Call my granddaughter Momo.
Sure. Is he having trouble with his skin, too, Dee Dee?
Yeah, he's been licking himself a lot lately.
Okay. I would certainly check it out with the vet. I get also some fur balls and things like that, like stomach upset.
Yes. Uh-huh.
That's kind of the first thing he tells me. I wonder, however, if he's having a tick, if that could be something neurological.
Okay.
So you might want to, and like I said, I get kind of like a rolling feeling with the skin, kind of like, you know, almost like if you go to touch him, he kind of startles, kind of feel. So I would certainly check that avenue out.
Okay.
Because I'm wondering if it, you know, and certainly watch how it progresses.
Mm-hmm.
To see, you know, if it's getting worse or better, if it seems to be situational. Let me think if there's something else I can get here. Because when I ask him, he's not telling me exactly what it is, because I'll actually ask the animal what it is or what they're experiencing, and he's kind of just kind of showing me what he's experiencing. So I'm getting the kind of the skin. It feels more than just like an irritation.
Mm-hmm.
So I would certainly look at, you know, because I would rule out any type of allergy or environmental allergy, which you can certainly do with the vet there.
Mm-hmm. And the tick you said is neurological?
Yes.
Like
I'm
sorry.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Kind of something that's either, you know, either happening within the brain.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, or within the nervous system.
Is he uncomfortable? Is he?
No, not at all. And no. I don't get any of that. I get no discomfort. He seems fine mentally. He seems fine, so I'm not mm-hmm. concerned that concerned about this just yet. You know,
okay.
I just think you should rule out any of the, you know, kind of the bigger things that this could be.
Okay.
And let's just hope it's maybe it's some weird personality trait.
Yeah, he's always been quirky.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, he's got that little smashed face, so he automatically looks like he's angry all the time.
Right.
So we kind of labeled him with that type of personality, even though
mm-hmm.
we don't know if that's the truth or not. But he is. He just has this ugly look on his face all the time. And you just kind of wonder if he really feels that way. Is he really a grumpy cat, or is he just, does he just look like one?
Let me just ask for a little more information here. Hold on. He says that he chooses to think of himself as opinionated. That he's... I think it's a little analytical or more critical. I would put the spin on it.
Extremely analytical, and that's his Gemini side, because he and I are Geminis. Actually, two of my animals are Geminis. I've got my Australian Shepherd, and I have my cat, and then, of course, me. So we're all constantly analyzing things. We drive each other crazy.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I don't think that there's, you know, I don't feel like there's a rush on this. I would just keep watching it for a little while. I mean, I would go a couple weeks and just see if it, if you think, it, if it looks like it's something that's distressing him or something, you know, I don't think it's that, but I you know, but I would at some point, you know, would want to, if it continues and it doesn't seem like it's just something personality based, I would like to rule out those other, you know, possible things like neurological.
He's kind of been peeing everywhere too lately, which, you know, I don't know what that's all about either. He has the same litter that he's had. I use the natural walnut litter for him, but he's just like, I'll go into the bathroom and I know that he's been in there because it just smells horrible.
Right.
And he'll do that in my daughter's room sometimes, and I don't know if it's just that he's jealous because he doesn't sleep with my daughter. He used to until he started peeing in the room.
Okay.
So he's kind of, he has to sleep by himself, which makes me feel real guilty, but we can't have him peeing all over my daughter's clothes and, you know, things like that.
I understand. The thing is I'm not usually, you know, situations like that are, you know, cats do out of spite. You know, there's some change that's happened in the household. But I'm not getting that. I'm not getting kind of a, like he's trying to punish you for something or send a message for something.
Okay.
So that's another kind of thing that makes me suspicious that there might be actually something going on with him, his physiology.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. I'll have to go take him to the vet and see what's going on.
All right. Thanks for your call, Dee Dee.
Well, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That was pretty cool. Now, usually when you have the animal, I know, like with Minky, he tends to get kind of funky if I don't let him into the bedroom, because he has a spot that he sleeps on, and he's just neurotic, and I think it's just because I'm neurotic. And if he doesn't get to sleep in that spot, it's a problem.
Right.
So, you know, maybe the cat is responding to that, not being able to get into that room, or maybe something has changed as far as the daughter, you know, growing up, hormones, things like that.
Yeah, it could be. It could be any number of things. I mean, think about it. If your husband locked you out of the bedroom all of a sudden, you'd be pretty ticked.
Yeah.
You know, and oftentimes when I'll do a consult and I will look at, when I have a little bit more time to kind of delve into it, I will look at what's, you know, any changes that are happening with the people, any new animals in the situation, has anything shifted, you know, for the family, the animals, the neighborhood, just to see if any of that is affecting the animal, because they're so connected to, you know, they completely insert themselves into our lives in every aspect. So things like an environmental change, you know, a new carpet, furniture being moved around would intensely affect them. You know, I mean, our lives at home are just a kind of a fraction of who we are in the world, because we have work and we have family and we have friends and we have all these other aspects. But animals that live in the house with us, you know, our home is their world. You know, so they will. Some of those changes will affect them on a bigger level than we expect.
Right. Okay. Our next caller is Kima from North Carolina. Now, when you guys are done on the phone, just remember to press 1 again so he can pull you off the line. Kima, are you there?
Yeah. Oh, you have an interesting show today. Very. No, I thought it was like for humans, and it was a pet. It's a pet.
Well, either or, we can switch. You know, nobody closer to us than us than an animal. I mean, we are animals that are at our most basic level. So,
right.
Ask away.
Yeah. Well, okay. I was gonna ask about. I don't feel right asking about them. Well, I got three dogs, and I was just wondering, what do they feel about me, or, you know, their situation?
Okay, what kind of dog? Give me the lead dog, if you had one that would be in charge, Kima.
That would be Babe. He's a not a mastiff. What do you call him? Things. He's not a mastiff. Not a Doberman. What's the other big dog?
Like a Rottweiler?
Yes, there you go. He was a Rottweiler. He's a Rottweiler.
Okay.
I was like, he's one of them things, but he's big, yeah. And then the second one, he's red, and I swear he's a fox because he's all red, and he's mean. He's real feisty and mean, just like the color. And then I have a little white dog. He's a little runt, but he tried to hang with him, but, yeah. So,
all right,
we love them all.
All right, let me check with Babe. Well, first of all, Babe sees you as head of household. So I don't know if you're married or if you live with someone else, but I feel like you're the one that Babe kind of defers to. Like, he feels that the two of you make the decisions in the house.
Does he really?
Yes, he does.
I feel like I just hold up space. That's what I feel like. Okay.
Yeah, and I want to say he just feels like there's a lot of energy, so it feels like there's a lot of, that you have children, either they're young or a lot of children around, there's a lot of energy, a lot of people in and out of the house. So Babe feels like there's you know, kind of like there's a lot to be done during the day, and he feels like he's kind of like the one that kind of has to kind of corral everything, keep everything on schedule, you know, keep the kids in certain places, and you might actually find him kind of actually pushing up against you to kind of get you here or there or whatnot.
Yeah, he barks. Yeah, he be talking to me. He talks.
Yeah.
I don't understand him, but he be saying some stuff.
He also feels that he's very beautiful or handsome. Like, he knows he has a striking appearance and that people are taken aback when they see him, either because he's so pretty or because he looks very dominating.
He is dominating. Well, yeah. He's a Rottweiler. What do you expect?
Right. Okay, what's the red dog's name?
Red.
Oh, it's Red. Okay. Let's see. Red is kind of much more quirky. Quirky, silly. And he says that he can kind of afford to be that way because Red takes care of all the details. You know, Red is the protector of the alpha dog. Babe is. So Red just feels like he's just kind of like he's the one that kind of nurtures and kind of you know, just cares for people, and he can be kind of comic relief in the house. What he feels for you is he just adores you. In fact, I think he just stares at you, like lovingly, adoringly. He just thinks that things that you do are amazing. You know, when you bring him home stuff, it's amazing. When you go out, you smell amazing. Things like that, you know.
Really?
So he's quite enamored, I think.
Okay.
Now, what about the little dog? We talked about the little dog.
Queasy. I call him Queeter. I don't know, Queasy.
Queasy. Okay. Queeter, or Queeter is I want to say a little bit of a bully. You know,
but he's
trying.
The biggest punk. Oh my goodness! Yeah, he just tried to be bigger than the big dog, and they're like.
Yeah,
oh,
and he's really trying to be. He kind of feels like him and Babe are buds. You know, they're kind of like he's trying to be like that big, that domineering, and he actually instead he kind of squeaks a lot. You know, barks and yips and actually becomes quite kind of a nuisance. You know, but that's how he likes to kind of rule. But he's trying. He's really trying. And he does. He has a lot of confidence, for a little dog, which, of course, is common to smaller breeds. You asked what he thinks of you. Let's see. He's showing me. He's following the other ones around. He loves you. He just he likes that he's here, so I don't know if he was a rescue or if he's kind of the newer one to the pack, but he just feels kind of grateful for being part of this, you know? He likes his pack and the people that kind of come and go, you know? So he seems quite comfortable there. And the reason, and him telling me that he's, you know, feeling grateful or comfortable fitting in, that says to me that there maybe he had problems in the past finding a home or fitting in or finding the right place for him.
Yeah, because his brother and sister, he was the one that they used to beat up on, and they was always jumping on and stuff. So we got rid of all of them, and but we kept Babe, and then his brother, Red, is actually his brother, but he was somewhere else, but he was brought back. He raised himself. Wherever he was at, he raised himself, and he was brought back to the house. So we got rid of all the pack that he was born with, and we brought in another litter and an extra dog that he was abused. Babe was abused, so he's partially blind. And and he went to the veterinarian, and they gave him some shots. And I don't know what happened, if he wasn't being fed or not, but you could see his bones. Whatever they gave him, like stripped him of all his weight, and you could see his bones. It took us a year. Well, at least when I came in the picture, like about a year ago. I don't know. Everything just started changing. And then one day I was looking through the window, and Babe was looking at me, and I could tell he just loved me. He was just sending out that I love you. I don't know how they do that, but I was like, oh, my goodness. He can see. But then I realized he can't be blind, or he might be partially blind because he's sitting up here in the window, right. In love with me, giving me these love eyes and stuff.
Yeah.
And I was just like, so, but I had one, I gave away one dog, which I regretted because everybody was scared of him because he was totally black. He was a black lab, and everybody was afraid of him. I think the stigma with black cats, black dogs, and he was very, very protective. But when I gave him away, I kind of broke my kid's heart and whatnot. So I'm kind of wondering how he's doing, or did they put him down, or I don't know.
Okay, do you have a name for him?
Ocho, or Oso. I call him Ocho, but
Ocho.
His name was Oso from his previous owner.
Okay, hang on a minute. Let me see if I can find him. Okay. I feel like he's still alive. And he's with a gentleman. He feels like an older gentleman, and he feels like he lives out in the middle of kind of nowhere, like a I don't know whether it's a farm or it doesn't feel like it's a very big piece of property, but it's kind of like he's with someone. I feel like he's a widower, and so he feels like he has a few cats around, but I feel like he's Ocho or Oso is happy and very protective of the new circumstances and the new situation that he's in.
Okay.
So
yeah, because he's very good dog, but he was kind of aggressive and he needed an open space. Because that's why his other owner gave him away, because they was in the inner city and he would run away, and they wanted to give it to somebody with an open that he can run wild. And
right.
I'm glad that he finally found his destination, his rightful owner, because actually I bought him from another state, so I guess that was his destiny to be bought across the line.
Yeah, I guess so.
That was his fate. He used me to get across the line.
Well, I think it happens. I think, animals do choose us, and they also, they also know if it's not the right situation, and sometimes we're able to clue into that and kind of send them along, hopefully to the right, the right situation for them. you know.
Oh,
so I totally believe in when you said that Babe was giving you the love eyes, because I think they our animals choose us.
Yeah.
You know, and they just know through our vibration or our energy, you know, if we're right for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Well, apparently, he chose me.
I think sometimes it's easier to find the right dog, Kima, than it is to find the right man.
Okay, that's a whole other thing.
That's another show.
Don't even go there.
That's our next episode.
That's how it is sometimes. So.
Right.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your reading. You have a blessed night.
Thank you. You too.
You too.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye. And don't forget to press 1 so other callers can call in. And the call-in number is 347-857-2139. Our next person on the line is Anne from New York. Hi, Anne. How are you? Hello? Anne, 646. You're on mute. You have to unmute yourself. Okay, we'll get back to you. Okay, and next one after that is Mary from Yonkers. Mary, with us?
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Hi, Mary.
I'm hanging in, barely hanging in. Such bad energy today.
Well, that's not good.
I went under the full moon the other night and released what is no longer serving me. And my daughter's been living with me the last 5 months, and I almost drank today, and I've been sober 7 years. It's just she's in the grips of her addiction. I saw my ex last week. He looks like he's in the grips of his addiction. And I'm like, wow. You know, I asked my daughter to move out today.
So what can we do for you here today?
What do I do? You know, like, how do I stand my ground with this?
Well, I think
like
you pretty much stood your ground. I think you did pretty good. You didn't drink. You told her she had to leave. You saw your ex and didn't get back with him.
Well, no.
I think that's pretty damn good.
Right.
No, we're still in love. We're still in love with each other. That's a whole different situation, you know. You know, there's a lot behind that, you know. But I'm wondering, you know, the two people that I love the most are self-destructing right before my eyes. And it's that powerlessness that there's nothing I can do.
Right. Well, Mary, I think sometimes that's a huge lesson for us, and especially as being a mom. You know, that's hard. You know, and especially if it's, you know, they're also dealing with addiction issues, you know. And something that you've, you know, a demon that you've tamed yourself. It's, you know, that may be the lesson in and of itself, is how do we protect ourselves in this? How do we protect ourselves and be there for someone without having to control the situation, stepping away? So, you know, because ultimately they're, you know, sometimes people need, you know, to get their own stuff together. You know, and you can't fix it for them, you know. And I think it's a testament to your sobriety and your, you know, your strength for these past 7 years that you can now recognize that. And instead of letting a situation go, be ongoing to where it puts you in danger, you can have the strength to ask someone to leave.
I've been honest. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I was going to say, I think it's, I don't feel like asking her to leave is going to damage your relationship. There might be some hurt feelings right now, but I feel like
it actually will become kind of a stepping stone to making things stronger with her.
I mean, she was in a domestic violence, and for the last 5 months, she's been living with me. And Chris knows me, and Barbara knows me. Mm-hmm. I opened up my gifts about a year and a half ago, and I was planning on taking angel courses, you know, read. I use the cards just to validate what I'm feeling. Mm-hmm. And ever since she moved in, everything's been on hold, on hold, on hold, on hold. And it was just like, I felt myself joking. And I know this voice is not my voice. It's every time I'm emotions. It's because it's so hard for me to tell the truth without being angry.
Right.
No, and I just like, I felt like I was spiraling down today. I just put my hands up and I said, no more. I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
I'm done. You know, and if she didn't have my granddaughter, it would be a lot easier.
Right.
You know, it's just that enough yeah. already.
Well, yeah, you can. I mean, you can still be there to guide her, but just from a little bit of a distance. She doesn't necessarily need to live with you. You know, you can help her find the situation that she needs to, you know, clearly she has some, you know, addiction issues, if you will, or victimhood issues, things that, she needs, to kind of rebuild her foundation, if you will, rebuild her own strength. So I don't feel like it's the end for the two of you. I just feel like, you know, it's sometimes you need to do some of that comes through the hands of tough love, and sometimes it's best to kind of stand back because, let's face it, Mary, if you, you know, picked up again, you know, then who would she have to turn to, you know?
Nobody.
Yeah, so.
I was so angry today.
Yeah.
Just, and when I did that release, one of my mentors had said to me, a couple of days, you might have to go through everything before you really get it out of your system.
Yeah.
Like, maybe that's what's happening today?
It's very possible that sometimes this kind of emotional debris, when we do a releasing, it will feel great. I mean, it feels terrific.
I felt great on Sunday.
Yeah, and then sometimes afterwards, the universe will bring us those situations, will line those situations up so that we have more of the release that we need, you know?
So you think everything's going to be all right?
I do. I think I would give yourself, by the second day, I would say by tomorrow things feel a little brighter. You know, definitely 3 days out, I feel like things are much more, they're workable. You know, you have a plan with her and with yourself, and she kind of knows where she's going. I feel like it would be easier to have kind of boundaries. I still feel like you see your grandchild.
Right.
In fact, I don't know if you're going to be taking care of them, but I feel like there's something like that, like you're watching them or caring for them while she's working or finding, you know.
No, I
working.
Work. I work.
Okay.
No.
I still feel like they're around, you know,
okay.
They're around for you in some capacity. So I feel like, I think you're going to be just fine.
And
it's a little.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I just feel like it's just a little rocky right now.
Now, you see me moving on with my spiritual journey?
I do. I want to say end of November feels like things line up for that more. You know, it just feels like you have a little bit to do between now and then,
okay.
Whether it's the holiday that kind of gets in the way, work, you know, the daughter, the, you know, other people. But I feel like certainly, I think... Oftentimes our spiritual journey isn't really something we can get away from. We can stop it, but I think it's just sits there waiting for us to pick back up and get back on with it.
I'm
you
about
know?
To bust out laughing because you were talking, my angels just told me, you fool, you were supposed to go through this. You got tired of keeping your mouth shut.
Right. Yeah, and certainly if you're feeling it, you're having throat issues, that's fifth chakra. Which is talking about the will and talking about speaking your mind, speaking your truth, you know?
Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Mary.
Thank you. Blessings to all of you. Thank you, Anne.
Thank you.
You're welcome, sweetheart. You have a wonderful day.
Thanks.
All right. Now we have Anne from New York. Anne, are you there? Anne? Anne, are you there? Hello? Okay, Anne's not answering.
Is she calling
try.
Up from the spirit world, Anne?
She must be. We're going to try Joey from Miami. I have my granddaughter in my arms, and she's like, I'm not hearing this. Joey, are you there?
Hello.
Joey. Hi, how
yes,
are you?
Yes, hi. I'm well, thank you.
What can we do for you?
Well, I was interested about the pets. I'm a pet
mm-hmm.
owner. And I would just like to see if you'd pick up anything in general. There's a lot of stuff going on in my life right now. But I have several pets and cats and dogs, and one of them just vanished one day. And it's been a year. So I was just wondering if you could pick up anything, if she's passed or
okay.
if she's in her home.
Sure, Joey. Give me the name of the animal.
Her name is Jin.
Okay. And what was she?
A black cat.
Okay. Okay. I'm stuttering for a moment because my chocolate lab has decided to join us, but he decided to sit on my lap at 75 pounds.
Oh, my goodness.
Give me just one second. Okay. I feel like she is passed.
You do?
I do. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sorry for that. Was she an
indoor-outdoor
cat?
Because we're moving. Yeah, she's an indoor-outdoor, and we're
okay.
moving now, and I'm just worried that she might come back here after a year that she's been missing.
Right.
So I was just wondering. I had a feeling because one night sitting outside, I kind of saw like a spirit, like of a cat, like a shadowy,
mm-hmm.
and I thought
right.
it was her saying goodbye.
Yeah, I feel like that's exactly what it was because I feel like she's been gone for a while. I don't feel like she ran away. I do think it had a lot of turmoil or a lot of activity in the house when she disappeared.
Yeah.
So it almost feels like you didn't notice that she was gone right away.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
And
you're so right.
Yeah. And I think she would do that. She would. There were times when she would, go out and be kind of around the house, and other times she'd go out and stay out overnight, things like that. But
right.
I feel like, I'm not sure exactly what happened to her, but I feel like it happened very quickly. I don't feel like there was pain or anything like that. I don't feel like she was, I don't think she was attacked by anything. So I'm not entirely sure. She might have been hit by a car or something. Whatever it was very quick.
Okay.
I don't feel like there was pain or suffering there. And I feel like she just easily transitioned, and it was very, very soon after she had left the house. So
okay.
I feel like I get kind of a feeling of I'm sorry, I'm sorry I didn't come back. Because I don't feel like it was intentional that she, was running away or getting away from the home or away from you.
Oh, okay, that's good to know. Okay. You pick up anything else for me?
Yeah, is there, for you in general or for the animals in the house, Joey?
Oh, I'll take anything.
Okay, all right, let me see. It feels like, you said you're moving, right?
Yeah.
Feel like the move has been a long time coming, and it kind of didn't feel like you weren't sure if it was going to happen or not. Feels like on some aspect, in some area you've been prepared and ready, and other aspect I feel like, with it, the actual moving part or what's going to happen when you get to your new location, it feels a little up in the air, a little thrown together. So it feels a little, you might have a lot of anxiety because I want to say it seems like this is coming together very quickly for you.
You're right.
Yeah. I do feel like it'll be a much better situation when you get to where you're going.
Good.
Now, this is with, are you moving within a relationship? Like you're already in a relationship?
Yeah, my whole family, my husband and my two children and
okay.
the two dogs and the two cats.
Yeah, I feel like it's a better situation.
where you go, whether it's work-wise. I actually like the location. For whatever reason, it seems a lot more open. And you know, for whatever reason, I'm thinking more conducive to the dogs, the kids, things like that. And it seems like kind of good people around. I get a nice feeling. So I don't know if you're moving with family or if you're not, if it's for like a work-related move. It just feels like I like a nice community feel to where you're
good,
going.
Good. I'm looking for work. I'm currently looking for work. So that's good. Okay. So everything's in a positive way.
I think within, I want to say within 3 months tops, I find that I feel like you have a job. It feels like right after the holidays. You know?
Fabulous.
Yeah. Good luck to you.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so happy my call got in.
No problem.
Thank you, and have a good evening.
You too. Bye-bye.
Have a wonderful night, Joey. Okay, let's see. Let's try Anne from New York one more time. This is your last and final call. Anne, are you there? Anne, 646. Okay, I don't know what happened to Anne.
Okay.
So we're going to put her back on hold.
You blame it on the aliens.
Yeah, that's the weirdest thing. I'm going to play one more song.
Okay.
And then when we come back after break, we'll pick up our last callers and we'll close up our show for the evening.
Okay.
All righty. Thank you. And we are back. Well, it's been a fabulous show, and I hope you guys enjoyed it. Thank you so much, Rachel, for being here. And
oh,
if you
no
wanted
problem.
To shout out your website again for those, for the viewers out there who are not in the chat room.
It's in my website is ravenswhisper.com.
Are you running any specials right now?
Yes, certainly my gift certificate special, which if you buy to purchase a gift certificate for anybody for the holidays, you buy one full session for someone else and you get a 20-minute session free for yourself or to use for any other purpose, another guest or another gift.
That's a great deal. Well, guys, I hope you enjoyed our time on the Nightlight, Barbara's a long show. And Rachel, we hope to see you soon. Have a wonderful holiday.
Thank you. You too, you as well, Ann.
And thank you for all your interesting information. You gave me a lot of food for thought. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. And you're welcome.
And we'll see you guys next week. As you can hear, my grandbaby's not having it.
She sounds delightful.
She's like, help, help, somebody. You guys can hear me out there.
Hello, America.
Right, yeah. My debut. All right, guys. Take care. We'll talk to you soon.
Good night.
Good night.